I'm so nervous, and I'm a novice. I appreciate being here.
Just breathe and relax and feel lucky for getting called on, and compliment yourself on having a poignant enough desire and a close enough proximity to it that you can hear it easily, and acknowledge that it's a good time to receive and that everyone will benefit by this unfolding.
Yes. I like the feeling and the emotion. You hit upon it with the teaching. A lot of my life revolves around a very difficult 19-year-old daughter who's had a difficult path. And I want to be there for her. It's like using my intuition to know when to teach and when to just be quiet and be in the pain of what the moment is. And that's a big part of my life. And
well, if you're not sure, err in minding your own business.
Uh-huh.
Because here's something that we know. Let's say that your life is going pretty well, and on most subjects, you're feeling pretty good. And let's say you have someone important in your life who is having a hard time. So you're basically on two different vibrational wavelengths, so much so that you can't hear each other. You don't understand where she's coming from, and she doesn't understand where you're coming from, and when you force it, it's just not fun for either one of you. But you can watch someone and recognize what desires are being born within her out of the desire that she's living, and you can fixate by going there mentally, even though you can't go there by observing her, and you can use what she's living and the desires that you believe that she's launching as your object of attention and as your reason for lining up with source energy. In other words, you can actually become blissful over anticipating good things for someone who currently is living nothing even close to those better times. And when you do that, now you are of enormous value to them, because what happens is you activate inside of you the very best of them. So when law of attraction puts you together, you're going to have a better experience, because the only thing that's active in you is the best of them. If you're sloppy in your thinking, if you just look willy-nilly at whatever she's living, she's up, she's down, she's all around, so that you let her life control your vibrational nature about her, now law of attraction is going to bring you together for the good, the bad, and the ugly. In other words, you're going to be there during all of it, where you want to be there only for the best of it vibrationally.
Right. I try to contain it and think of the good. I just worry about when it's some dangerous thing that she may be doing.
Well, here's what we know about that. If you suspect there's something dangerous that she's doing and you warn her, you contribute to the danger, you don't take away from it. If you believe that there's something that she might be doing that is danger and it frightens you so much that it takes you to your knees, in the middle of that, you launch a rocket that you want to go with. In other words, you want to begin envisioning outcomes as you want them to be, and that's the way you influence her to improve life experience. You all know that. Have you ever had anyone come right up to you and tell you that you should do something different? And don't you just do it the way they don't want you to do it, just in order to make a statement for your freedom?
Yes.
Of course you do. And so what you want to do, and it's not easy, do you see this person every day?
Several times a week.
And why several times a week?
Just because she's 19, but in her, you know, she's developmentally behind a bit, and she is in her own apartment because she broke the rules in her house, so she's in her own apartment, so I want to stay connected with her.
All right, so we want to rework the wording of that. She broke what rules?
Oh, drinking and drugs and curfews.
But who was the offerer of the rules?
My husband and myself.
So she broke house rules.
Yes.
And so now she is living out of the house.
Correct.
So we would use different words. We would say she found her freedom by breaking rules that set her free.
Uh-huh. Even though she vacillates back and forth to appreciate being free, back to angry that she's not under our roof.
Well, of course. It's sort of like so many relationships. In other words, people like the security of marriage and hate the bondage of it. In other words, and what you finally come around to understanding is that the situation or the container, seeming container, the situation, isn't the reason for the way you feel. It's your mental approach to it that is the reason for the way you feel. In other words, we applaud her for breaking enough rules that she was set free. Now, you can say she was thrown out because she broke the rules, and we would say she did the inevitable. Very often, children will do that. If you want to be free and you are living in an environment, now here's what we can feel around all of this. You're very well-meaning in this, but you see her as behind in terms of development and have for a long time. And so as you see her in that way, whether you use the words about that or not, that is the vibrational offering that you're offering. And that doesn't feel very good to anyone. You see, the thing that we're wanting all of you to understand is that the only measurement that is of any importance or value is the conscious awareness of where I am in relationship to where I want to be. If I'm being compared to anybody else, it's impossible for me to discover a guidance that will work. And so she's been compared to this one and this one and this one and this one. Mm-hmm. And the worst part about all of that is in the comparison, she has been determined to be substandard in some ways, which no one, we don't care how they are living or who they are or how they might be compared by the outside world, no one is substandard to anything. There are so many people who have been misunderstood by the world or not understood by the world or even deemed inappropriate by the world who have been genius in their own unique way. And so all that anyone ever should measure themselves against is their own desire. So now she knows all of this on some levels and was guided by her source to come this way, come this way, come this way. So we'll sort of play the scenario out. So in her depression, she was called by source into something that felt better than depression, which, from your interpretation, was a breaking of a whole bunch of rules.
Right.
And then she was thrown out of the house, which was also part of source's calling. In other words, because she's not ever going to get out into the light as long as she's in that place where she isn't compared to any other,
right,
you see. So then she escaped, and do not misunderstand, you are doing anything that any loving mother would do. But so then she escaped from the constant scrutiny into an environment that is not much less than constant. And what we would encourage you to do is see her as on her way to her autonomy and trust that she has guidance within her that you can trust, and then watch for evidence of that.
And we need to have boundaries. You know, she always wants from us, and she's going to have to learn how to be on her own and not keep asking us for everything as
a
crutch.
Here's the thing that's interesting about that, because parents, as you see your children, you see yourselves, you identify yourselves to them as the vortex through which their well-being will flow. You feed them, you clothe them, you house them, and not only that, most parents want to educate them in terms of the way they should think about things too. In other words, you want to be the vortex through which they learn this life. And so you set it up that way, and they learn it and learn it and learn it and learn it, and then one day you say, oh, well, now I don't want to be the vortex through which your well-being flows. You need to go find another vortex. And we say it's a bit abrupt. Jerry and Esther, for a while, had the wonderful benefit of having what they called their bird herd. It was a group of chickens in the chicken yard, and they loved watching these chickens. And one day, Henny Penny, a little black chicken, was herded by Big Bird, a big black rooster who looked just like her, only much, 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 much bigger. Big Bird herded Henny Penny over into the corner behind the air conditioner and stood there until she laid her egg. Ordinarily, she would lay her egg in the nest, but he would not allow it on this day. So she laid her egg behind the air conditioner, and Jerry and Esther saw it happen. The next day, Big Bird herded Henny Penny back over behind the air conditioner where she laid another egg. And for 21 days, that rooster herded that little hen over there until she had laid 21 eggs. And then when she tried to leave, he wouldn't let her. He insisted that she stay there and sit on those eggs. So she finally gave in to his insistence and sat on the eggs, and he would go gather things and bring them to her to eat. And she sat there for 21 days before the first egg hatched. And of those 21 eggs, 7 little black chickens with little brown feet came out. Now, it is glorious to watch because these little fur balls are so adorable and mother is so interested in them. And every moment she is tending to them. She is herding them and picking for them and digging for them. And she would dig a little and they would rush in, and then she would dig a little and they would rush in. And Esther was amazed that they weren't trampled by Big Mother and her big feet because these were such little tiny birds. And it was so fun to watch. And then one day, the little birds gathered all up around their mother, waiting for her to dig so that they could get something. She just pecked them on the head. And Esther said, "Henny Penny, that is not very nice of you. These are your little children. They are waiting for you to give them something to eat." And she pecked them on the head. And the more dependent they were, the more she pecked them on the head, until finally they said, "All right, already, we get it. You're going to peck us on the head as long as we stay anywhere near you." And so they went off a little way away from her, where she kept a watchful eye, but she never again dug up anything for them to eat. And we say, Henny Penny is a perfect parent. In other words, at a very early age, she fostered their independence, and nobody ever likes it on the first day.
Yes.
My husband is still fostering this dependency, so I just have to keep my focus on what I want to see happening. And
you do,
I
and it's harder for you because he threw her out but keeps her dependent. In other words, that's an impossible place for her to be. It's like, come here but don't come too close. Come here to, in other words, now keep our rules from a distance.
And I can't force him to see it another way. I just have to do my own journey of focusing how I would like it to be and what I intend for her.
Well, look at it this way. There isn't anything wrong with the way he is seeing her, because he wishes that something that the two of you, you and your mate, have in absolute common is you both want with all of your might well-being for this beautiful girl. There is no question about that. And you can express it vibrationally, whether you express it through actions or not. And we just want to say to you that as you relax a little more, there is some work for you to do, because you've been beat up pretty good in all of this too. In other words, she is not an easy girl to live with. It has not been an easy thing for you. You know, the torment that we feel within you is that you expect of yourself that you should always have that blissful mother's love. When somebody is being such a rascal, nobody could love her. You didn't say as you came forth into this body, "I will look at something unlovable and I will love." What you said is, "Love is so natural for me, I'll look around for things to love. And daughter of mine, you're not it today." And that doesn't make me bad that I'm not able to love you. That's like going to the smorgasbord and picking the most god-awful thing and putting it in your mouth and then being mad at yourself that you don't like it. In other words, it doesn't taste good. Of course you don't like it. Pick something that tastes better. And don't beat up on yourself because that doesn't taste good to you. Just pick something that tastes better, you see. And as you make peace with yourself about this and stop holding yourself to impossible criteria, and instead say, "I want to love, and oh boy, are there many, many things about you that I love," and make lists of those things and activate the things that you love so much until that's the dominant vibration that's playing in your vibration all day, every day, what will begin to happen is your relationship with your daughter will become transformed, but you will be the one who sets the tone of how it is. So now think about it. See yourself as a tone setter, or as our dear friend says, as an influencer, as an uplifter, as a motivator, as an inspirer. So imagine yourself seeing her flawed and behind, and imagine that that's the vibration that you're offering. not too much uplifting going on there, is there? But imagine yourself seeing her as bright and the potential in her, and you're remembering the good times, and that's what's activated within you. Now, can you feel what you're causing to be activated within her? If you could see this world vibrationally as we do, we'll give you a sort of description. So there'll be someone like Jerry or Esther or so many of you who will walk into a space, and you are tuned in, tapped in, turned on, and so you're offering a vibration. And we see this visually. We are describing the vibration of it visually to help you get a better picture of it. So they walk into a space, and there's all kinds of energy around. It could be a grocery store. It could be driving into a city. It could be a restaurant. So there they are offering their vibration, and there are all kinds of people around that are vibrating at different places, and some of them are right on the brink. Some of them are right on the brink of being right where Jerry and Esther are. And just being near them vibrationally, in the vibrational proximity of them, puts them right over the edge. So that suddenly a cluster of joy is sort of surrounding them in traffic, mm-hmm. in a restaurant, mm-hmm. in a grocery store. Then let's say that there's someone in that vicinity that is nowhere near their vibration. And their vibration is really strong that way. And now law of attraction is bringing them this one and this one and this one. So now they are overtly basking, overtly playing, overtly offering the vibration of it. And so now here's this person over here that's nowhere near them vibrationally. And now law of attraction has set up such a force field that that person, even if they wanted to walk into that space, could not get into that space. In other words, law of attraction just does not allow, because Jerry and Esther have dominated the space with such powerful well-being that something that doesn't match it can't get in.
Okay, so I have to keep that space of the what the good I see in her. See, I start every encounter
yes,
that way, and
the,
then it starts to be her negative energy, so I have to keep holding it.
Here's the thing that we want you to understand. You've never really cleaned your vibration up completely because you're too close to it and you have too many memories. It's the hardest thing for a mother to do. It would be much easier for a stranger to do. That's why she gravitates to strangers and seems to enjoy them even more than she does her own family sometimes. You all understand that. But the thing that we want you to hear here is that let's say that you do clean up your vibration and you make lists of positive aspects and you just get into that wonderful space. Then you might start feeling uncomfortable that your daughter isn't coming to you because mm-hmm. you've cleaned your vibration up so well that she can't get in. And that, dear friend, is what has kept you from cleaning up your vibration. When you find out she won't come to you, you muck up your vibration so that you can go to her. And then you have a mucky, yucky experience, and then you blame her for it. Where what we're suggesting is stay over here in this good space and mm-hmm. expect her to come to you. She mm-hmm. will, we promise you. Mm-hmm. Stay over here in the good space about her, and she'll come to you because everybody wants to hear how much you love them. Everybody wants to hear how beautiful you think they are. Everybody wants to feel that. And when that is what is in your vibration, you will evoke that knowing from her. And that mm-hmm. is what uplifting is.
Yes, I do it as long as I can. I hold it as long as I can. And then I finally have to let the play date be over.
You're doing fine. You're doing fine. We just wanted to explain it to you because if you do a better job of getting yourself there before the play date begins, you'll have a better chance of maintaining it longer. Most of you don't even try to clean up your vibration until you're faced with something that reminds you it needs to be cleaned up, and then it's too late for this moment. Yeah. In other words, now you just have to sort of ride it out and make a better plan for next time.
Yeah, I start out great, and I hold it for a good period of time.
Then have
and
shorter times together.
Dart in,
feel good, get out. Dart in, feel good, get out. Dart in, feel good, get out.
Yeah.
Dart in, feel good, get out.
Yep. Perfect.
And do this with everyone in your life, and eventually what you let people around you know is, I want so much to feel good, and law of attraction will bring us together when we are feeling good, and law of attraction will not bring us together when we are not feeling good. And when either one of us forces the interaction for any reason less than because law of attraction has brought us together, it's not good.
Perfect.
It never feels good.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I just want to thank you so much. Everything has changed for me since we've been talking. My question today is about time. In a big sense, you say that we go from lifetime to the next, but it's not linear, but it's okay to think about it linear. But I'm curious about time because I want to feel like time is on my side. I can think about my multi-million dollars that I have in escrow, and I can get really happy and think, it doesn't matter if it takes me tomorrow to achieve that, or 60 years, or like three lifetimes. I'm like, I can stay happy about that. But then I think about my beautiful husband and three kids and the house that we live in, and I think, oh, well, I better hurry up. Because my body is subject to time. Like, that's the only thing that kind of holds me back. I know that I can, you know, I'm aging in a way. And so in some areas, it doesn't bother me. I love the ride of life. And Abraham, all of it's turned me on to that so much. But I think if I understand time, I might release myself from that.
Well, you're approaching it from two very important different directions. And we want to chew with you about both of them. First, you said that Abraham does not talk about linear lifetimes. And you're right, we don't. We talk about you being source energy and expressing yourself into the physical. And yet, it's all right, as you said, that we said, for you to think in terms of it being linear, because there is this expansion of the universe that does explain that there is a before and an after. In other words, as we're chewing here together in this gathering, we are literally adding to the expansion of the universe. It has been a wonderful day of stepping out there into a new place. So that means that before we had this interchange, the universe was less than it is now, which means it has become more. So we want you to realize that as the non-physical energy that you are, as you come forth into yet another physical body, you are adding to this expansion. And in that sense, it is linear in that you're not going back. You're not ever going to go back to a universe that is less expanded. Mm-hmm. Now, the time factor is just really a focusing mechanism more than anything. Time is irrelevant. It's also perceptive. Have you ever had an experience where a little bit of time seemed like a long time, or a long period of time seemed like a short time? Time is really a perceptual thing, and it has to do with alignment. You can get into a space where your desire about something is clear, and your full expectation of it is in place, and time will literally stand still for you while you devour it with more detail. Time is a perceptual thing. It's more about focus than it is anything else. So now, let's turn to the other way that you were approaching it. Let's talk about, so here I am in my physical body, and in one way, we liked all of your words, you say, I am patient about allowing the universe to reveal its treasures to me. And we say, well, you have control about all of that, because you get to control how much of life you dive into, and you get to control how much contrast you experience, and therefore, contrast meaning variety, mm-hmm. You get to control how you launch desires, therefore you get to control how much source energy expands through the focus that is you. Get that in your motivational speech. They'll really like that. In other words, you get to control that. In other words, the more you're out there, the more you're mixing it up. Sometimes Jerry and Esther will have a day that is so busy that it seems almost impossible, and they are more alive than ever before because the day demanded their attention. And as they focused in a place of positive emotion, it was like the universe yielded and they began to feel invincible. So a day like that is much more satisfying than a day when they are asking nothing of themselves or nothing of the universe. What you begin to discover is the more you let yourself be a mental being first, meaning you define things that you want in your mind and you line up with them mentally because of the way they feel, the more you prepave the circumstance and the more the universe then accommodates you so that then it doesn't take your time to move from place to place to place. Let's say you are a very busy person and you have many things that you're wanting to achieve tomorrow, and you have a list of them. And when you get home tonight, you ponder your list and you think of the reasons why you want to do all of these things, and you imagine them all successfully completed. And then you go back even further and you imagine yourself joyously in the process of completing them. And as you lie in your bed, you feel contentment about what a wonderful day tomorrow is going to be. So what you've done is you've imagined tomorrow, you've lined up with tomorrow, you've come into vibrational alignment with tomorrow, and tomorrow has vibrationally been prepaved for you. And now, as you walk through tomorrow, the universe, who you have enlisted to do your work, just says, like a sort of really good helper that is working with you, come this way, look here, sign here, stop here, go here. You get into this flow where you have taken all the bumps out of your day because you did it mentally, and now as you go through the physical action motions of it, it flows comfortably. The other day, Esther said to Jerry, they were in San Diego and they were on a beautiful space. They'd been enjoying it for quite some time. And it was the day that they would take the entire rig and move it to Malibu. And they were looking forward to Malibu, but they were very comfortable where they were. And the satellite dish was up, and Esther was answering email, and they were very contented, and they have friendly neighbors. And Esther was feeling like she could just sit there all day. And then suddenly, she got an impulse to go. And she said to Jerry, I don't know why, but I have such an impulse that we should go. And Jerry said, all right, we should follow your impulse. And then something came up, and she set that aside, and she decided to do this, and just one more thing. And instead of following that impulse, which didn't feel urgent, it just felt like an impulse, they delayed for another hour and got caught in a very bad traffic jam, where if they had left when Esther's impulse was there, they would have avoided that altogether. And It's quite fun to see the evidence of what the impulse was about. In other words, all that does is make them more determined that they will follow their impulses more specifically. But what we're getting at is when you get tuned in, tapped in, turned on, and when you use your mind and your powers of visualization and your ability to line up energy as the method that you create with, and then you just follow through with inspired action, what happens is the universe yields back to you so much more time. So then time no longer feels short. Now, we know that wasn't exactly the direction you were going with that. You were not necessarily talking about shortage of time in a day, but you were talking about shortage of time. It was like, I've got this many years to accomplish this much stuff, and we say, it doesn't take time to accomplish big things. It doesn't take more time to accomplish really big things by the scope of human endeavor than it does to accomplish small things in the scope of human endeavor. Big things don't take more time. It's just how much time does it take you to get to lining up the energy? Once you line up the energy, the universe swoops in around it and things begin to happen fast.
Well, I think then the thing is, like, there'll be times when I think that I'm lined up, but then I go, it's not in my experience, so I must not be lined up yet, which is okay. I try to soothe myself and say, that's okay, because you have eternity. But then on some subjects, I don't feel like I have eternity, so then I feel bad again, and then it sends me to the left.
Well, each time you feel bad, you want to talk yourself out of that. In other words, make peace with where you are. Say things to yourself like, there is no rush, and I could very well be right on the brink of it, and right. I have no real way of knowing exactly when it's going to manifest, but I know that it will, and right. It will manifest in perfect order, and I would not want to defy the laws of the universe and have something manifest before I'm ready for it. And anyway, it's fun getting ready for it, and just sort of soothe yourself into it. There is no shortage. We promise you, you will not wait three lifetimes for your millions. In other words, it isn't like that. In other
right.
words, this lifetime has inspired your desire, and this lifetime can yield to you the physical manifestation of what you are asking for. But you have to find a way of being eagerly satisfied. And by that we mean, it's a fine line between saying, I'm content and I know it's going to get better, and saying, I'm content, but maybe I'm taking too long. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a tipping point there. So when you say, I'm content, but it's taking too long, you've got to soothe that it's taking too long part. You've got to say, but I'm right on schedule, and it's unfolding, and look what I know now that I didn't know then. And what's the big hurry? And I'm joyful, and joy is what my goal is. And I can be joyful with a ton of money, or I can be joyful without a ton of money. My goal is to be joyful first and a ton of money second. And it's not either or. It's not like I have to give up a ton of money for joy. When I get joyful, a ton of money and a ton of clarity and a ton of well-being and a ton of good friends and a ton of fun experience, a ton of all that good stuff that I'm wanting is on my doorstep.
Right.
It isn't either or. So just soothe yourself and acknowledge how well you are doing.
Okay.
And what we want, we would love to just whack you, zap
Thank you,
you
yeah.
zap you into a place of feeling eagerness to replace impatience. But impatience is so indicative of being alive. In other words, when you feel impatient, that means you've been living and you've been launching and you've been asking and you're being summoned. And so we would far rather you say, I'm impatient, than I'm bored.
Right.
We'd far rather feel your impatience, because that means there's a whole lot lined up and you're on the brink of it. And if you can just relax into some of that vision. We thought we gave a wonderful analogy, even though it seems off the subject, of somebody standing there with a bat ready to whack you on the knees, because we want you to realize that if you let your now reality dominate completely your vibration, then patience will be something that you'll need to develop, because you're not moving anywhere very fast.
Right.
But when you reach that place where you are feeling eager and you are understanding that it will come, that it is coming, and you're not unhappy that it hasn't come yet, but you're anticipating how it will unfold. In other words, say to yourself, it's going to be really fun to see how the universe lines up our next wonderful place to live. And it's going to be so much fun watching me and the rest of my family get into vibrational readiness for it. There are so many things to consider. Where do we want to be? How do we want it to feel? What do we want the air to feel like? Where is it in proximity to other things that are important to us? Where does it fit within our financial budget? How much will our budget have to expand before we're comfortably ready for that? In other words, there are so many wonderful things that will come into alignment that are going to be really fun to watch unfold. So this is a fun game. It's like a scavenger hunt that's fun, where there are endless clues and endless prizes and endless opportunities to focus and experience. We would not, if we could, pick you up and put you over there where you think you want to be and deprive you of the fun of going there.
Okay.
Even though it might seem like it takes less time.
Okay.
Because time is the quotient to be spent on joyful life.
Okay.
That's why you have this sensation of time, to give you this continuity. In other words, it's more fun to wake up in the house you live in and to dream about the next house before you wake up in the house you're dreaming about, than to one day wake up in this house and one day wake up in that house and one day wake up in that house and one day wake up in that house and have no sense of how you got from one to the other.
Right.
In other words, it's so delicious. That's what this time-space reality gives you. It gives you a platform from which you can achieve the next logical step, because it isn't satisfying to move from where you are to where you want to be if you haven't been the one that pre-paved it.
Right.
That's why it is so miserable to try to live somebody else's dream for you. You want to say to that employer or to that mother or to that mentor sometimes, you think that's such a good plan? Go live it. In other words, it isn't fun to live someone else's dreams, but oh, it is so much fun to live your own. But you got to dream them before you can live them. And you got to dream them with such fervor and with such steadiness that the dream begins to feel as real as the reality that you're living. So that when people say, where do you live? You have to stop and think. Did I move yet?
Well, I do. Like, I'll have days where all I did, like on the day, was play with the dog. But in my mind, I was where I had everything, and I'm very happy. And they're like, they say, oh, you're in such a good mood, and I can't tell them because it'll look like I'm crazy. It'll look like I'm delusional.
Oh, well, that's not true at all. It is not. You don't look crazy when you're happy.
Okay.
You look normal.
Okay.
And people who think you're crazy when you're happy are crazy.
Okay. Okay. All right. But thank you. Does Abraham or God, or however you say it, have a dream and an experience like time? I mean, today, you got to express new things, you got to articulate what we are asking from the edge. And that
Well, that's beautifully stated, by the way.
So is that a satisfying thing? Is that like a dream of God to be talking back and forth to the...
Well, you're taking us to such a good place. So you could say that dream that we have is to get to see you come into alignment with what you have been asking for.
Yeah.
Because remember, we're over here calling you. And when you come, we have a party. That's that enthusiasm that someone was describing. When we've been calling you and you come, you're not the only one who feels the joy of that completion.
Right. So that's an experience, that's a movement, so that's time. Is it, it's a before we got up to speed and then when we got
up to
speed?
Well, certainly, because we are focused in your time-space reality. You are the leading edge of thought. We have never said that we are timeless. We have said that we are the non-physical basis of that which you are, but you are the extension of that which we are. And so as we focus through you into your time-space reality, we experience time and space through your experience. But the difference between the way we see it and the way you see it is we never feel shortage of time, and we never feel shortage of space, and we never feel shortage of resources. We see it as a smorgasbord that causes an expansion, not a shrinkage. When someone gets an idea, we don't see it as a using up ideas. We see it as an adding to the pool of ideas. When someone spends a dollar, we don't see it as a shrinking of the economy. We see it as an adding to the economy. When you, in your selfish nature, build your magnificent home, we don't see it as a squandering of resources. We see it as an expansion of resources. Because if you're not asking, nothing is expanding. And when you are asking, it is expanding, you see. That's why when the human finds lack somewhere, it feels awful in your belly, because you're choosing a thought that is inaccurate according to your broader view.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
You are leading edge thinkers, yes?
I was raised in a very heavy Judeo-Christian background in education. And I was programmed to believe about God and about Jesus and salvation. And
what were you programmed to believe?
If you don't accept Christ as your Savior, there is no salvation in the next life.
Well, now let's soften that so that it feels better to you.
Okay.
Interesting that in the room just now, Jerry pulled a Bible from the drawer and just opened it. And Jesus said, ask and it will be given. And Jerry said, this sounds very familiar. And the next part said, as you see it and believe it, it will be. And Jerry said, that too sounds familiar. In other words, do not take this whole clump of anything and call it one thing or another. Sift through it and find that which resonates with the depths of that which you are. We were talking earlier about symbols, and someone was talking about the mantra of gum, and we say, all religions and so many methodologies have found points of focus for you to focus upon. And so it was said that this was someone who was connected, so much so that he too was a healer. So why not use a symbol like that of someone tuned in, tapped in, turned on, as something that you too are wanting to achieve. And we agree, people do sort of get carried away with the rhetoric. It's true of every religion. Religions gravitate so far from where they started. But there isn't anything wrong with you identifying the essence of that and holding unto it. We see many, many people in many different religions closing their vibrational gap. In other words, their life is causing them to want, and their religion causes them to believe. And so there is nothing wrong with religion, and there is nothing wrong with that religion. But guidance outside of you can never replace guidance within you. And in fact, if you are really listening to what Jesus and so many others had to say, that was their dominant message. That kingdom of heaven that you are seeking is within. Now, we don't know how they got to the place that they're at. In other words, we agree that there are a whole lot of people who profess that as their religion who are very far from being connected to source energy. You can tell that because they don't feel good. Anyone who is angry in their religion isn't living it.
Yes, I see.
But we don't want you to describe yourself as a recovering... because it gave you a platform, it gave you a basis, it gave you a place to start, it gave you an opportunity, it gave you a good basis, you see.
I see.
And now you're expanding from it, and that is good, and that is what all religions at the heart were teaching. It's an interesting thing to watch this movement of religions, because someone like Esther gets into a vibration where she can interpret from source, and then others hear it and like the sound of it and begin to write it down. And all of that is fine until they conclude that the religion can only go as far as those words were. When the whole point of an experience like this, and everyone that was at the heart of every religion that you know of, was interpreting in some way. In the early days of Esther and Jerry doing this work, they did a radio show in San Antonio. That's when they learned the true meaning of the Bible Belt. Because the radio interviewer was not really having anything about them. How they ended up on the show is still a mystery to them. And the guest that was supposed to come before and the guest that was supposed to come after didn't show up, and so they had a very long dialogue with this man who really wasn't having any of them. And he had trained his audience, for the most part, to think like he did. And so the people who were calling in were really not very enthusiastic about Esther professing to be receiving from broader perspective. And so one woman was describing her outrage at what she was hearing, and when she stopped, we said to her, "And what is it that you use as your source of guidance?" And she said, "I use the Bible." And we said, "We have heard that it is a very good book," which annoyed her. And then we said to her, "And how is it that that book has come to be?" And she said, "It came from God." And we said, "And in what way was it translated or interpreted?" In other words, how did it get from God to paper? How did it get from God to words? Someone received it and interpreted it. And do you know that woman had never thought about that? She'd never thought about that. It had never occurred to her to think about that. All she knew for sure was that nobody ought to be now speaking from non-physical energy. Nobody ought to be professing that they speak from God, because God stopped speaking the day that book was finished. So now it turns out everybody's got a damn book, and they're all professing that it's the book. And then they kill each other because you've got the wrong book, you've got the wrong book, you've got the wrong book, you've got the wrong book. And we say, bury those books. Let them be. You all have access to source energy. And so if those books or any book inspires you to your understanding of who you really are, an extension of that which man calls God, and you let your life experience cause you to ask meaningful questions, which Source Energy will answer every single time, no exceptions. And you can somehow get yourself into vibrational alignment with that by working on your worthiness and working on your appreciation and working on your love and moving yourself up the emotional scale, you'll get so tuned in with that energy that you will never again question who you are. And those books, while they may be delightful, while they may inspire you in this way and this way, will never replace your true connection to Source.
Thank you. One other question, relative to us or me creating my own experience, if a person is wanting, and another person is wanting something different, and they're together, they're together, but they're wanting different things. Is there a negation?
Well, here's the thing. If you want something and you're in alignment with it, it's going to come. If the other wants something and they're in alignment with it, it's going to come. And the universe has an uncanny way of melding your intentions to give you both what you want, even though it seems impossible. In other words, someone might say, I want to live in the mountains, and someone living with them might say, I want to live on the shore. And it would seem that they both can't be satisfied, but when you get to the essence about what they're both reaching for, they want clean air, they want beautiful vistas, they want to feel good. The reason that one wants to live in the mountains and one wants to live at the ocean is for the same reason. And when they focus upon what they want, the universe will find a way to yielding to both of them what they want. But what trips you up sometimes is you know what you want and you focus upon it sometimes, but the other wants something different. And you keep noticing what that other one wants. So you're not focused upon what you want. You're splitting your energy by pushing against what the other wants. So you're not a vibrational match to what you want, and you're blaming the other one for it. And the other one's doing the same thing. Neither one of you are getting what you want, and you're both blaming each other. So the answer to your question is, if you can stay focused upon what you want, which means you have to mind your own business and not push against someone else's different idea of what they want, you cannot stay true to what you want when you're pushing against what someone else wants. And the universe will yield to you. There are enough resources to give you all what you want. You are not in competition for resources, you see.
Tell me about Elsie, about how a person who does not want a cat in their life and a person who really wants a cat in their life can live together.
When Jerry and Esther got married, Esther's prenuptial agreement that Jerry made her sign said, no pets. And Esther had loved cats all of her life, and Jerry did not want the responsibility or the heartbreak of falling in love with some little critter that was not going to live as long as he was. We'll just leave that alone now. We were going to play with you, but we'll do it in private later. So Esther never stopped appreciating cats and dogs and all kinds of creatures. And every time she would see some little critter, she would say, oh, hello, little cat. Would you like to come to Texas and live with me? And Jerry would say, no, I don't think so. Remember our agreement. And Esther would laugh and pet the cat, and off it would go. And so one night they were in a campground in Louisiana. And while Jerry was hooking up the hoses and such, a little black and white cat came and rubbed on his ankles. And Esther could hear sounds coming out of Jerry that were not familiar, and she looked out and she saw him having a nice relationship with this little cat who was insisting on getting his attention and doing it. And then later, Esther watched Jerry walking across the grass, and she saw him going toward the park office. And so she could tell something was up, so she followed him where he did not see her, and she listened through the window as she heard him ask the campground owner, who does this cat belong to? And she said, we do not know. Someone dropped the cat off. We do not know where it came from. And then Jerry came back to the coach, and Jerry and Esther are inside the coach, and that night at about 9 o'clock, someone is knocking on the door. Very unusual. They open the door, and here is the campground owner, and she is holding the cat. And she says to them, I've talked to my husband, and we think you should take this cat with you. And Esther said, You have no idea how long this story is. I cannot begin to tell you how unlikely that would be. But we will let you know in the morning. Thank you very much. And so now Esther is looking at Jerry, and Jerry is looking at Esther, and neither one of them can sleep because Jerry is afraid Esther wants the cat, and Esther is afraid he won't let her take it. And so Esther says to Jerry, I'll tell you what. When we wake up in the morning, if that little cat is nowhere around, we will just leave it at that. But if she is on our doorstep, we'll take that as a sign, and we'll take her with us. And Jerry said, that sounds like a good plan. So they woke up before the sun came up, and Esther is fixing breakfast and saying, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. And Jerry is saying, no, 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 that is not our deal. And then they put the window shades up, and Jerry pulls in the hoses, and Esther gets behind the wheel and starts the engine on this big diesel monster bus. And from across the distance, they see a little cat jumping through the tall grass. She is coming toward the coach. And she came right to the door of the coach. And Esther opened the door, and Jerry said, well, little cat, I guess you're going to Texas. And in she came. And Elsie, which stands for Louisiana Cat, or Lovable Cat, or Lake Charles, which is where she was found, is Jerry's best friend. Now, if you had asked Esther about the probability of that, she would have said, there is no possible way. Esther called the office and said to Yoli, we are bringing a cat. So if you could get some cat food and make a place for it. And Yoli told Tracy, they are bringing a cat. And Tracy said, oh, Yoli, I'm sure that's not right. They saw a cat. They ran over a cat. I know they are not bringing a cat. Esther never pushed against Jerry's not wanting a cat. She just never stopped appreciating cats. She never stopped loving them and petting them and enjoying them wherever they were. In other words, she stayed true to her vibration of desire without introducing resistance. And when the time was just right, the universe orchestrated the perfect circumstances and events to give them both what they want. Mm-hmm. Jerry's resistance to a cat was he did not want the dependency. And this is a very independent cat. She lives outside. Of course, there are cat doors in every building that they own so that she can come and go as she pleases. But she is an outside cat. She could fend for herself. No one could be at the office for a month, and she would do just fine and be there when they get back. Or she can live as she does most days with the girls at the office on Michelle's desk with her paw on the mouse pad.
That's great. I love it. One final question. Is it possible the power of what we have, the wanting, is it possible to overcome physical laws of this physical dimension?
Yes, but we have to tell you, the power isn't in the wanting. The power is in the allowing. In other words, you can be or do or have anything that you want. Another nickel. Anything that you want. You can be or do or have anything that you want, but you've got to come into vibrational allowance of it. So the power is in the moving up the emotional scale. The power is in the forking technique. The power is in the wanting to feel better. The power is in the listening to the call of source. The power is in the being willing to move from depression to anger, and from anger to frustration, and from frustration to hope, and from hope to belief, and from belief to knowing. In other words, the power is in the trek up the emotional scale. The universe adores you, and your life is causing your expansion. Your work is in the trek up the emotional scale. Your work is to close the gap. That's where the power is. So someone who just complains all the time isn't utilizing their power. Someone who looks only at what is isn't utilizing their power. Someone who is willing to find a different feeling, that's power. In other words, when you get mad, when you've been depressed, you've exercised power. And when you have hope, when you've felt despair, you've exercised power. And when you find love, when you have been mad or hated, you've found power. Your power is in your willingness to allow your connection to source. Because Source is powerful. Source is all powerful. But you are not separate from Source. Source is not powerful apart from you. Source is powerful because of you. Your willingness to explore contrast is what gives birth to the new idea and takes the expanding Source energy outward. You all should be more proud of yourselves. You should be more happy about who you are. We want you to feel your important part in all of this. We want you to adore having been non-physical essence, and we want you to adore your decision to come forth into this body. And we want you to adore the time-space reality that was ready like a nurturing nest for you, no matter where you ended up. Esther, sure, something went wrong. She should have been born in Malibu, but just the same, where you came forth was the perfect place for you to come forth. And as you come forth into this physical body, into this nurturing environment, which will inspire expansion through you for all of us, that's a given. That should make you so glad, you see. And then you say, but where's my stuff? I have been asking. I know I have. And if when I ask, Source yields it, then where is it? And we say, it is there for you. It's waiting for you in vibrational escrow, waiting for you to move up the emotional scale, waiting for you to love yourself, waiting for you to love others, waiting for you to be willing to be who you really are, waiting for you to stop beating up on yourself, waiting for you to stop comparing yourself with everyone else, waiting for you to stop comparing yourself and come up short, or compare yourself and come up superior. You can't win either way. When you compare yourself and you say, I'm better than you are, you're inferior, you're not in alignment with who you are. When you compare yourself and you say, I'm inferior and you're superior, you're not in alignment either. In other words, you got to stop comparing yourself with everything that is out of you and just deal with your crack. Not that crack. Not that one either. This one.
I see. Thank you. Thank you. Sometimes I get in a place, whether it's with work or relationships, where it's ambiguous. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. And I immediately go to the negative. It's not going to work out. It's not going to work out. And it's easier to go to the negative than the positive.
Well, that's not illogical, because as you've been practicing that, it's a more dominant vibration within you. And so we don't disagree. It is easier to stay where you are than to reach for a new vibration. But it is helpful when you understand you don't have to reach that far. If you try to reach really far, you can't make the jump. And that's another reason that you stop trying. But when you get sensitive the way you feel enough that you can feel a little improvement, so it's sort of like reach a little, stabilize, reach a little more, stabilize, reach a little more and stabilize, before you know it, you'll be saying to us, it doesn't feel good when I find a negative thought.
It doesn't feel good, but if it's a specific incident, let's say it's work, I'm waiting for something to happen, or it's a relationship, is this going to work out or is it not? It's more immediate.
Well, you see, what you're doing is, what you're actually saying is, I want the situation to resolve itself so that I can have a better feeling response to it. So what you're saying is it going to work out? Because if you'll tell me it's going to work out, then I'll start feeling better in advance because I know it's going to work out.
Yeah.
But if it's not going to work out, there's no point in wasting my positive emotion over it. and what we're, in other words...
Well, I'm just trying to get rid of... It's trying to get rid of how I feel, because it's so painful to just sit with the unknown, not knowing the ambiguity of what's going to happen. It's almost like that pain is too much.
Well, sometimes. Try to be brave. In other words, try to sit there in that place that right now you can't change.
Right.
And try to feel better anyway.
How do you try to feel better? Just tell yourself to feel better?
Well, by trying. Give us an example, and we'll show you how to try. We haven't done much of that here today. It'll be good for everyone.
Okay, what if you're having problems in a relationship, and you guys are taking space and trying to figure out what's going to happen, and you don't know what's going to happen?
And if you could make it happen the way you want it to happen, what would
you... It works out.
All right, so what I want is for it to work out.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think it's going to. because I've had experience before. I'm afraid it's not going to work out. And what this person said to me seemed pretty clear, and so it doesn't feel like it's going to work out, but I want it to work out, but it doesn't feel like it's going to work out. So now, talk with the singular intent of soothing yourself right now. In other words, what you have to do, you have to separate the now and what seems to be happening in terms of action from an emotional journey. We want you to take an emotional journey whether this person comes with you or not.
Do you want to feel better with that person or without them?
Without that person. And what happens is, in the majority of cases, when you feel better, that person comes because it was your not feeling good that was keeping it from working out to begin with. But it takes a little bit of effort, and that's where you came in. You said it's easier to worry about this than it is to expect something positive. And so we say, well, don't dream too far, because it might be sometimes, especially with relationships, you want it because of all the things that it can be, but you fear it for all of the things that it can be. In other words, it could sort of go either way. Yet this could be my best friend, or this could be my worst enemy. This would be someone that I can hardly wait to come home to, or this could be someone that in a few years I can hardly stand that I have to come home to. In other words, it could go either way. What are the possibilities? I want to look into a crystal ball and have someone assure me that it's going to be good. And we say, it will be whatever you make it, but you've got to go to the beach in your mind first, so to speak.
Well, it's easy to say this is where I want to be. It's how do you get there? Like literally, what do you do?
Literally, what you do is you talk yourself into a place of feeling better. It's an emotional journey. Because, you see, what we're hearing from you, and this is very common, Abraham, give me a reason to hope and I'll feel hope. Tell me that you've looked into our future and you see us together, and if you'll just tell me that, then I'll be willing to hope. In other words, show me some sign of a changed circumstance, and when I get a glimpse of a changed circumstance,
then I'll feel better.
And we say it doesn't work that way.
You have to feel better first,
and then the circumstance will change. And then you say it's hard, and we say, we know, but you can do it. And you say, but I don't think I can. And we say, but we know you can. And you say, but I've never been able to do it before. And we say, well, you got to try a little bit. And you say, well, I don't know if it'll work out. And we say, we'll give it a go. And you say, well, I don't know how to do it. And we say, well, just try. And then before long, we just wear you down, and you try. It's like a really good game that would work well for you here is play the wouldn't it be nice if game. Wouldn't it be nice if? Wouldn't it be nice if I could fast forward into a place where I know that this is the perfect relationship, and she knows it. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if I could release this feeling of worry and look at this relationship with a feeling of wonder and excitement? Wouldn't it be nice if I could stop asking the other to be perfect in every way, and the other could stop asking me to be perfect in every way, and we could just love each other as we are, as we grow together into something that is wonderful for each of us? Wouldn't it be nice if right now I could feel the exhilaration that I felt that day that I saw who that person really is, and I thought, this really is it. Wouldn't it be nice if I could recapture that and that person could recapture that? Now, in essence, what we're doing here is sort of pretending circumstances that feel better. But in pretending the circumstances that feel better and the achieving of something that feels better, you've shifted vibration, and now the universe can't tell the difference between whether it's really improved or you just feel like it's improved. And the universe will yield you the results of how you feel every time, every single time. And now, I'm trying to decide if it is more to your advantage for us to tell you that it's going to work out. Well, you just wanted the crystal ball so much we could not deny you. So you can go through whatever negative gyrations you want and torture yourself if you want to, but there's no reason for it.
Thanks.
you speak about a law that's consistent. And in the physical world, in the engineering, scientific world, laws that work are also consistent.
Everything is. Everything is law-based. That's why it works.
However, the physical laws are reproducible and provable. Law of attraction by nature is not.
Well, there's not a shred of evidence to the contrary of it anywhere. There's never been anything more proved or provable, ever.
Well, I've...
Name one thing.
It's like no matter what you try to prove, law of attraction would yield that. See what I mean? So if somebody sets out to disprove that this stuff doesn't work, you know, if I'm happy it's not going to work, their vibration is going to impact their study.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Prove.
Isn't that good? They get what they expect. That's law of attraction.
Right. But it's a catch-22.
It's a win-win-win-win-win.
I get that. I get that. It's
We're
what
just
I'm,
torturing wh- you. It's...
There was a movie out about What the Bleep Do We Know, that they did a study on water, that the intention of the experimenter was studied on what happened with the water. Later on, and I believe that, I don't doubt that it can happen. However,
we don't doubt it either, we just don't think it did.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. When they scientifically went back and checked it, they couldn't find the consistent impact.
Everyone who looks for anything finds what they're looking for. That's why statistics are so amusing.
Okay.
Law of attraction says that which is vibrationally likened to itself will match up with, meet up with, join with that which is likened to itself. In other words, the law of attraction says that whatever it is that you are vibrationally offering is coming to you and will be reflected fully in your experience.
I agree. My desire was to somehow find an angle to talk about this without saying that it's coming through a channeled entity. And I haven't found one. That's what I'm asking, if there's...
Well, you know why? This is a tricky part about this. There have been a lot of people that are trying to do that because they want to leave us out or Jerry and Esther out of it. And that's all right because none of us care whether we're left out of it or not. But the problem with leaving the non-physical out of it is that the way that you know where you are in relationship to what you want, in other words, the way you close that gap so that you are offering a signal that law of attraction will respond to, is by having conscious awareness of those two vibrational points. And if you leave the non-physical part out of it, if you don't acknowledge that you are source energy and that as contrast causes you to give birth, the source becomes that vibration, if you leave that part out, then that would be like Magellan in Jerry and Esther's vehicle. That would be like them getting in the vehicle and the satellites noting where they are and then having no mechanism to say where they want to go. So no, as they drive around, Magellan just says, well, now you're here and now you're here and now you're here and now you're over there. But without the other point of relativity, there's no guidance, you see.
I agree with that.
You can't leave the non-physical part of it out. But here's what you could do.
Okay.
You could leave the channeling out of it. Call it inspiration. That's all it is. You don't call the basketball player a channeler, but he is. He is an extension of source energy. You don't call the surgeon a channeler, but he is. You don't call the musician, the magnificent master of musician, you don't call him a channeler, but he is. He's channeling the broader essence of who he is into the specifics of what he is about. So Jerry and Esther have never used the word channeling. It is used when it is applied to them, but they have never used it because it means many things of which they are not, you see.
So I guess I accept all that, and I'm here. This is my fifth meeting. I have all your books, etc. The thing
when you
were
a teacher, we wanted to give you words for your bridging, yes.
Well, law, again, going back to the concept, the closest thing that I see science has come to is string theory, for example, because it talks about vibration, but they're having a hard time mathematically proving it. They need 11 dimensions. We only know 5, etc., etc., etc.
If they could accept law of attraction, they would be there tomorrow. Tomorrow, one scientist applying law of attraction to string theory, he would understand it tomorrow. Find one and tell him.
Okay.
We know it's hard to accept yourselves as vibrational, but it is easier to accept yourselves as emotional. And when you begin to affect your emotion by your thought, then that's a bridge to understanding vibration. So what you could begin to say to people is, you know, I have a sensing that I do have some sense of guidance. I've had gut instinct all my life. And I've noticed that often I'll have an impulse to do something, and when I followed it, it went well. And when I didn't, it didn't go so well. It was like some part of me knew something that the rest of me had to catch up with. So I started sort of paying attention and began to notice that the better I felt, the better things went for me. And the worse I felt, the worse things went for me. And so I've just decided that I'm going to feel good. You could leave everything else out of it. You could have a grandmother who just taught you to appreciate and taught you to feel good, and you could know nothing about law of attraction or Abraham or any of this stuff that we talk about, and you could live a magnificent life. A man sat in the chair today and said, I'm living such a wonderful life, I'm almost afraid to mess with this stuff for fear it might mess something up.
Right.
And we say, there are all kinds of people who are living enormously well because there is no gap between what they want and what they expect, you see. Right. But to be deliberate in the offering of that, and we know there are a lot of people who are not ready to hear about channeling, but there is no one who does not want to feel good. There's not one person on the planet who wants anything for any other reason that they believe that in the having of it, they would feel better. And if you can just get across to them that if they could feel better before they have it, then they will have it. That is the dominant message that we are offering. You can leave every other part of it out if you want to.
Well, the thing is, I do enjoy thinking about it. That's like trying to figure out, like, really, how does the emotion and matter interact that all this happens?
Well, it's interesting because it happens so gradually that you cannot see it. And that's the thing that is confounding. This buffer of time, here's the best way that we can describe this to you. More than 99% of every creation is completed vibrationally before you see any physical evidence of it. And the reason for that is your contrast causes you to launch it, and then source adheres to it and becomes one with it. And then things begin to move into place to bring it to what you would call manifestation or physical fruition. So when you feel enthusiasm, when you get to that place where you're feeling really passionate about something, and when you think about it, it thrills you to think about it, it doesn't beat you up to think about it, you're right on the brink of manifestation. So you could do your own personal scientific survey where you start watching a timeline between things you feel pessimistic about and things you feel optimistic about, and show yourself an absolute recordable ratio between how long it takes. Those things that you feel enthusiasm about happen fast, and those things that you feel pessimistic about don't happen ever until you improve the way you feel. And what you begin to notice is that if you're feeling discouragement about something, then it's a long way, so long that you could call it forever away. If you're feeling frustration about it, it's still not ready to manifest, but it could manifest quicker, but not until you close the gap. Nothing happens till you close the gap. So we don't care if you're in despair or in frustration or in even a feeling of slight hopefulness or pessimism. Is still not ready to manifest until you close the gap. So the question of time is, how long does it take me to move up this emotional scale? Because you got to close the gap before the manifestation is going to happen every single time. It's not going to manifest before you line up with it. It's not. It cannot. And that is traceable, trackable, definable, learnable, teachable, explainable. In other words, teach it to yourself. And then you'll find a million different ways that you can teach it to others.
Thank you.
We have enjoyed this interaction immensely. You've got it. There is great love here for you. And for now, we are complete. Thank you.
How many of you are at your first Art of Allowing workshop? Oh, well, welcome. Good to have you with us.
All recorded and printed Abraham Hicks materials are copyrighted by Jerry and Esther Hicks, and any unauthorized duplication of these materials is strictly prohibited. Our primary intent with this work is to connect with those who are attracting this information, and Esther and I are most appreciative of the role of your intentions in this joyous co-creative experience. For additional tapes, CDs, books, videos, catalogs, or to reserve your space at an Abraham Hicks Art of Allowing workshop, please call area code 830-755-2299 or write to Abraham Hicks Publications at Post Office Box 690-070, San Antonio, Texas. And the zip code is 78269. Also, for an immediate overview of our works, visit our interactive website at www.abraham-hicks.com.
Pretty funny, huh?